Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney, bringing you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. And it is Election Tuesday. Every Tuesday from now till that most important Tuesday in November, November 2nd, when we kick out the Republicans, we focus on the election, everything that you can possibly want to know about John Kerry, George W. Bush, politics, money, polls, campaign, advertisements. That's right, everything we discuss here on Election Tuesday. And that song, Kick Out the Republicans by Donny Data of Los Angeles, we've been playing now for several months on our week-by-week charting till we get till Election Day, November 2nd, 2004. And I guess I have to say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Some other talk show hosts, I know Randy Rhodes, for example, has been copying my song. I want to thank her for listening to my show. And again, say imitation is sincere flattery. And welcome her as she also plays our Election Tuesday music, seeking to kick out the Republicans. Well, we've got a great show for you today. We've got Nick Shapiro. He's the regional press secretary for the Democratic National Committee. He's going to be on the air following the break, and he's going to be able to answer your questions about the Democratic Party. And here's really your chance among us Democrats and you moderates and conservatives that listen in. We welcome you always. But here's our chance to really challenge the DNC, ask them what they're doing with the Kerry campaign, focus the campaign. Maybe you think Kerry should do one thing. Maybe you think he should do another. Find out his positions on Iraq, on the economy, on health care. Find out how he differs from Howard Dean or Ralph Nader or certainly the arch enemy, George W. Bush. Actually, you know, it's kind of hard to call him the arch enemy when Dick Cheney and Karl Rove are doing all the thinking for him, but we know that this is the figurehead that that put those two in charge. So it's going to be a great show, and I want to encourage you to call in. Because, as I said, this is really your chance to talk directly with people at the DNC, find out what they're thinking, maybe even influence their advertising. The number to call in is toll-free. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you like the numbers, it's 877-577-2667. Some of you are at work, can't call in, but like to communicate with me by email, and that's always welcome. The new email address is comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com, and your comments may very well be read on air. Let me encourage you, though, to call early in the broadcast. Sometimes folks call in, even write in, email me in the last 10 minutes, and by then I'm getting so many calls and so many emails that you're less likely to get your voice heard. So again, I want to encourage you to call early, 877-57-SCOOP, and you know, ask the tough questions, whatever it is you want to know, whatever you want to know about John Kerry's position. Maybe you want to know why he's not doing better in the polls. Maybe you want to focus the campaign on a specific issue. Maybe you just want to, you know, talk about how Kerry would have a very different defense secretary from Donald Rumsfeld. Whatever it is, go ahead and call in, 877-57-SCOOP. At the Inside Scoop, we have a new website. It's been around for about a week, and I really suggest you check it out. It's RadioInsideScoop.com. The colors, the design, everything is done by a really terrific graphic designer and web designer by the name of Bert Humberg. He's really done a terrific website for me where we're gathering everything up together. There still may be a few archives that don't work yet, but most of them do. If they don't, if something's not working, let me know. But I'll tell you the best thing about the new website, and it's something you may not have noticed. It is now a blog. That's right. Mark Levine of the Inside Scoop has his own blog. It's a weblog. And that means that if you want to comment on the shows, it's not just a question of sending a comment to comment@radioinsidescoop.com where I read your comments on the air. But if you comment on the blog, you can have a conversation for all to see, not just for my eyes to see, but really begin a dialogue. And that's, of course, what a blog is all about. Creating a dialogue among our listeners, and I really want to do that. Again, feel free to say whatever you want. Criticize me, agree with me, say you like the show, you don't, ask questions, show websites. I'll tell you, I get so much information in my email box that sometimes I just can't digest it all, and this is a way for you to let fellow listeners know what you're thinking about. And for my part, unless you get crude or try to sell something, I'll leave you alone and I won't edit your blog. So check it out, radioinsidescoop.com. Check out the blog. Maybe you'll have a comment after today's broadcast. But also want to encourage you again to call in 877-57-SCOOP and ask Kerry's guy, ask the DNC, Democratic National Committee, the difficult questions. Ask them where they're spending their money. Ask them what they plan to do about Ralph Nader. Ask them what they plan to do about Iraq and maybe whether there's any time when they can foresee our troops coming home. You know, one of the things that I hear conservatives say all the time when they talk about the election, they talk about Iraq. Well, one thing they say, of course, is that we shouldn't politicize the thing. And that's always an interesting comment. It's like, well, George Bush decided to go to war in Iraq. He lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. He lied to us and said they would greet us as liberators. He made no planning and so forth. Didn't know how many troops would be needed. Didn't prepare for nation building. Didn't do anything. And then they say, well, don't politicize it. That means, according to Bush speak, don't blame Bush for the problems in Iraq. It's not fair. If we have good things, like when George Bush thought his mission was accomplished and he landed on the aircraft carrier. Well, that's all praise to Bush. All praise to Bush for good things. But bad things, don't blame anybody. It's no one's fault. Or it's the fault of a few low-level people. Let's court-martial some 24-year-old Air Reserve guy and let's pretend that he didn't get orders from the very top. So they say don't politicize these things, and I'll be the first to recognize that these are problems that affect us all as Americans, not as Republicans, not as Democrats. In fact, for example, I think Don Rumsfeld ought to resign. I think he's a complete failure as a defense secretary. But I got to tell you, as a Democrat, we probably do better if he sticks around. As an American, he should go. He's horrible. There's no question that his leadership led to the tortures in Iraq. I think that they go to the very top. We're going to find out more about it as more things come out. But it's very clear to me that it went to the very top. As an American, he's a disgrace and he should go. But as a Democrat, you know, maybe he should stay. Maybe I think it would actually make Bush look worse as we go into the fall election. After all, George Bush never admits mistakes. If Rumsfeld resigns, that would be admitting a mistake. And that would be a first for George Bush. People might not like him better. But I got to tell you, I'm an American before I'm a Democrat. And that's why I think Rumsfeld has to go. What do you think? Again, call in 877-57-SCOOP, toll free, 877-57-SCOOP. For those of you that like the numbers, 877-577-2667. When we come back from the break, we'll have Nick Shapiro of the Democratic National Committee answering your calls, answering your questions, answering your emails on this Election Tuesday. Again, 877-57-SCOOP or comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. You'll be back with Mark Levine and the Inside Scoop this Election Tuesday right after this break.
Writers used to sacrifice for their art, subsisting on stale biscuits and cheap wine, letting their health go as they wrote day and night. No such suffering for Carol Matthews, though. She's a British writer of what is called edgy romantic comedy novels aimed at young contemporary women. And rather than sacrifice, she has simply sold her artistic self to Ford Motor Company. In the latest intrusion of corporate advertising into every nook and cranny of everyone's existence, Ford has paid a pile of money to Miss Matthews in exchange for her pledge literally to write the company's products into her romantic novels. It seems that Ford is eager to pitch its Fiesta car to 28 to 35-year-old women on their way up the career ladder. Apparently, this is the very demographic that Matthew's books reach. Chick lit, it's known in the biz. So Ford has become a literary character. For example, in a special short story written for the company, she drops in a reference to, quote, whizzing around Buckinghamshire in Imogene, a rather snazzy Ford Fiesta, complete with 6-CD changer, air conditioning, and thoroughly comfy seats. Art meets ad copy, and ad copy wins by a knockout. Matthews, who also is appearing in ads for Ford, says she's not troubled by this corporatization of her work. Quote, I've been very pleased with Ford in that they haven't put any constraints on my writing at all, she gushed. Well, good gollies, Ms. Matthews, I'm sure they won't, as long as you keep writing breathless copy like that. But what have you tried to, you know, test your corporate freedom by writing something like, whizzing around Buckinghamshire, my snazzy Ford Fiesta sputtered and died on me again, just as the 6-CD changer went on the fritz and spewed blue smoke in my face. This is Jim Hightower saying, who would buy a particular car just because some writer mentions it in a novel? And Ford wonders why it's falling behind Japanese car makers?
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. This is Election Tuesday, where every Tuesday, from now until that most important Tuesday, November 2nd, 2004, we do our best to kick out the Republicans, or at least talk about ways we can kick out the Republicans. And I encourage you to call in. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. And ask your questions. Give us your strategies. Our guest is Nick Shapiro. He is a regional press secretary for the Democratic National Committee, and he'll be able to answer your questions about Democratic strategy, about the polls, about Kerry, how he stands on various issues. And here's your chance to get your insight into the DNC. So don't hesitate. Call 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. Hey, Nick, thanks very much for appearing on the Inside Scoop.
No problem. Good to be here.
Let me ask you a question. We've seen a pretty tough week for the administration this week with the revelations of the torture in Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and the calls for Don Rumsfeld to resign, the misleading of Congress about this torture, the fact that they never told anybody about it. It's a tough week for the administration, and yet the polls I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen more recent polls than I have, and I encourage you to tell our listeners about them, but they don't show a dramatic movement in the ultimate question, which is who will you vote for in November. Why isn't Kerry doing better?
Well, I think there's a lot to look at there. One is we are looking right now, depending on what poll you look at a president who has the lowest approval rating since he's been in office.
Is that 46%?
I believe so.
Okay.
And to answer your question about John Kerry, people are just getting introduced to John Kerry. The Republicans and Bush administration have spent more than $60 million with misleading advertisements and lies trying to, distort John Kerry's record. And obviously we're seeing that's not what people want to see, that's not what people want to hear, and it's not working.
Well, is it? How do we know it's not working? I mean, nobody likes negative ads. I mean, I think everyone hates them, but the reason why people use them is precisely because they work. I mean, don't you think that Bush, even, and I agree they're all lies, and in fact we can talk about some of those on the air a little bit later on the broadcast, but don't you think that Bush using negative ads actually is working? I mean, I hear Jay Leno start talking about Kerry as a flip-flopper. I don't see him that way, but once it gets out is in people's minds, how do you combat that?
Well, I think that's a good point, but I think the way we know it's not working is because we're neck and neck, and we're leading in most battleground states. They've spent, like I said, over $60 million.
Yeah.
We've just started to introduce John Kerry. You'll notice our first major ad buy is a positive spot. We're telling people John Kerry has a plan to make America a stronger country. You know, we're going to create 10 million new jobs. We're going to make healthcare and education affordable for everyone. You know, this is an election that people are just starting to hear who John Kerry is and what he's about, and that he has a plan. Unlike President Bush, we've seen nothing but running away from his record and negative attacks. So I think right now, being neck and neck where we are and leading in most battleground states, I'd say we're doing pretty well.
You know, I got to say, and maybe I always want to press, because I'm afraid that neck and neck's not good enough. I remember the election of 2000. We were neck and neck. Gore won by 500,000 votes.
He did win.
And it was close enough for them to steal the election in Florida. And I figure we need, if not a landslide, at least 5-6% victory to prevent them from being able to manipulate election machinery to push George Bush in again. So I guess what I'm saying is Bush has had a really hard week. I mean, why can't we capitalize on that more?
Well, I think we are, and I think you're going to see us capitalize more and more because, I mean, let's face it, President Bush doesn't have a plan. You know, he doesn't have anything he can talk about that he's done well since he's been in office. All John Kerry is going to be doing right now is talking about his plans, the way he's going to bring health care to all, the way he's going to create 10 million new jobs, the way he's going to give education, you know, to everybody.
Let me get some details, because I read in the Washington Post today some details of Kerry's health care plan.
Mm-hmm.
What is Kerry's health care plan? How does it differ from current state of law?
Well, first, I think the major point is John Kerry sees there's a problem with a health care crisis right now. George Bush doesn't even realize that there is a problem. So I think, you know, the first point you have to make is that John Kerry sees that there is a problem, and he does have a plan to fix it. And regarding his plan, you know, there are a couple different elements to it. First, he's going to cut family premiums down by more than $1,000. And he's going to cut the waste, cut the fraud, cut the abuse, get rid of the inefficiency.
Now, is this
really going to expand coverage as well as lessen the cost to the American people?
Is this premiums for the health care plans they get through work or through government, or which plans are you talking about?
I'd have to get back to you on that specific of the detail.
All right.
But
fair
I think,
enough.
You know, talking more about his plan, you know, he's going to be able to hold down malpractice costs by getting rid of the irresponsible lawsuits that are, you know, really flooding our legal system right now.
Well, now how is John Kerry going to get rid of irresponsible lawsuits? I mean, I got to tell you, as a Democrat, I'm concerned if someone, you know, if a physician leaves a scalpel in a person's body, I would hope that they could still sue for malpractice.
Now, I don't know if that would count as an irresponsible lawsuit.
Okay. Well, what is his plan to get rid of irresponsible lawsuits?
I think what he's going to do is address the matter. He's going to bring it to the Congress, and they're going to talk about it. You know, we're going to have a debate, and we're going to see what we can do to fix this problem. He's identified that that's one thing that needs to happen. And then, you know, it's up to the American people and the lawmakers to decide what's the best way to do it. But I want to say that we're talking about it, and we're trying to find a way to fix this.
Let me ask you this. I think there's some people on, you know, the liberal end of the Democratic Party, those who supported mm-hmm. Howard Dean and some other of the candidates, that are concerned that John Kerry wouldn't be enough of a difference, that he wouldn't, for example, the war in Iraq, that he wouldn't have much of a different strategy. And then I hear attacks from the right attacking John Kerry saying, well, he doesn't have a plan for Iraq. And I guess that my first comment on that is that's unfair, because here, you know, he didn't put us there. He didn't get us into this morass. And then they say, you know, it kind of reminds me of like a little kid who knocks over a glass. It breaks on the floor. And then he looks at his mom and says, what are you going to do to clean this up? So it's an unfair question. But nonetheless, given even that it's unfair, Bush put us in a horrible morass in Iraq. I don't see any easy answers. How is John Kerry going to help get us out?
That's a great question. And John Kerry does have a plan for Iraq. It's a plan that Bush, it seems like he's stealing some parts from, to tell you the truth. John Kerry wants to do a couple of things. One, we need to take the American-made label off the back of our soldiers. We need to get rid of the view of this being, and the reality of it needs to stop being an occupation. We need to involve NATO, get more of an international force, including Muslim soldiers and soldiers from the rest of our allies. We also need to get the United Nations back in the ballgame here. We need to have an international leader down there in Iraq making decisions. The problem is President Bush, since day one of this administration, has alienated all of our allies. It's no wonder why the United Nations wasn't with us when we needed it, or NATO for that matter.
Let me give out the number again. It's 877-57-SCOOP, and I got one more question for you before I go
sure.
to our callers. And that is, how do you think a John Kerry presidency would have prevented some of the horrible tortures and abuses that we've seen pictures of and read about in the Abu Ghraib prison?
Well, I think your leadership starts from the top. John Kerry showed when he was in Vietnam, you know, captain of his Swift boat, he takes responsibility for all of his actions. You know, George Bush, it seems like, you know, he's willing to be commander-in-chief when things are going well. He'll land on an aircraft carrier. He'll pose by a fake turkey. But when the going gets tough, I guess the buck stops at Donald Rumsfeld, we're finding out.
Yeah, so that basically if you got someone at the top who reads all the reports that are submitted to him and doesn't, you know, expect his underlings to do it, we can have more of a control. That makes sense to me. Let me go
Absolutely.
To a caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Nick Shapiro. What's your first name and where are you from?
Tony Glover from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Tony from Washington, D.C. It's always good to have local listeners. Tony, what's your question or comment for Nick or for me?
I guess it's for Nick. People saying that when it comes down to...
Speak up a bit,
Tony. I mean, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
The last election we had, that they said that Bush is, I mean, that Gore was trying to be Bush-like, so there was no difference. And there was some recommendations, sort of like the Israeli situation in the Gaza Strip, and also maybe with the keeping the military there, that he definitely was like or saying the same strategy. And same thing with Mark was saying, that what's the main difference? It has to be a main difference, and you have to get the message out there to gather.
Okay, Tony, hold on. I'm going to repeat what you said.
Appreciate that.
And next time, I don't know if you're on speakerphone, but you need to speak up a little bit more because it's kind of hard to hear you.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Nick, I think Tony's question is, how is Kerry different from Bush? How, you know, some of the criticism of Al Gore is that he was Bush-like. At least that's the criticism that Nader made. How is Kerry different specifically on Israel, where actually I haven't seen a difference, or on any other issue, Tony, I should ask about?
Also, when will he pick his VP and I'll take my
Okay.
air?
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. Well, to answer your question, hello?
Yeah. I think
there are a lot of good things to point out here. One, John Kerry has said he will not come into office and then just disengage himself in America from the Middle East, which, as you remember, that's what George Bush did. When George Bush came into office, he took us out of any process there, and that's where you start to see a spiral of violence. John Kerry's going to come back into office, and he's going to make sure the interests of Israel and the Middle East are in America's, you know, in our favor. We need to get back there and get back to the table and start talking. You can't stay out and disengage. And to answer his vice president question,
Before you get to that, because I do want to get to that,
sure.
I would just add that I would hope, and maybe you can confirm this, Nick, that John Kerry would have a very different relationship with countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt, that are supposed to be our allies, but are dictatorships that mistreat their own people. And Saudi Arabia, of course, is known to have funded 9/11. 15 of the hijackers were Saudi, and they're funding a lot of the hate around the world. And I think that George Bush, because of his connections to oil companies and indeed his connections to Saudi Arabia himself, which we know from Craig Unger's book, which I actually had on my show a couple weeks ago. I had Craig Unger on my show talking about the connections between Bush and Saudi Arabia. I would hope and expect that Kerry would take a much different relationship to these so-called allies of ours.
Absolutely, and I think I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we're seeing, you know, this president has a major credibility gap. You know, in Saudi Arabia specifically, as if you remember, candidate Bush said in 2000 he would, quote, jawbone OPEC, the OPEC cartel. He would make them open up the spigots. Here we are at the highest gas prices in this country right now.
Although Saudi Arabia promised Bush they're going to lower it right before the election, and it looks like they're doing it. It looks like OPEC, Prince Bandar's keeping his promise. He raised prices, gouged the American consumer, but he's going to lower it right before November.
That's what he says, but John Kerry wants to say lower it now.
Right.
You know, George Bush was supposed to go in there and make him open it. You know, it's not good enough for the American people to be suffering now, So George Bush has a better economy when November 2nd comes around. I don't think anyone in America is going to stand for that.
Okay, let's go to the vice president question. Let me give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. Or you can also 877-577-2667 if you prefer that way. Or you can email me by sending an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Okay. All right, go ahead, Nick. The ultimate question.
The ultimate question.
Why are we waiting so long
for a
vice presidential choice?
Well, it's a very important process. You know, it takes a while. And, you know, all I can say to that is you've heard the different reports. You know, I don't have a short list for you.
You're probably not allowed to favor a candidate, are you?
Of course. You know, there are...
You work for the DNC.
Of course not. The problem is we have too many good ones to pick from.
We do, actually. I think we've got a lot of... when I think of Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico, I think would be a fine choice. John Edwards, I think, would be an excellent choice. Governor of Arizona, she would be a wonderful choice. We do have a lot of possibilities. And I actually think that will partly energize the campaign. You know, I think once you add a vice president, that's got to add a few percentage points to the polls. I know that when Clinton chose Gore, that definitely helped him in his campaign. And when Gore chose Lieberman, the same thing. So I'm hopeful that'll happen. Now, Kerry has said it's going to be done before the convention, which is in, what, July?
Yeah, I think, you know, the timetable is going to be out there. And, you know, you just have to... I think everyone needs to be patient and realize that there are so many good people to pick from that it's a long process. You know, we want to make sure we've got the right candidate and that candidate molds with John Kerry.
Nick, I want to read to you an email. I get emails in as well as phone calls. And this is from Brian, doesn't say where he's from. Brian writes, woefully little is said in either side's I think he meant campaigning. Neither side's campaigning about America's future in alternate energy. With the war in Iraq being indirectly about oil, as well as increased reliance on natural gas also running out, we need a clear course for energy independence. George Bush has actually allocated funding toward the so-called hydrogen economy. What is Kerry's stance on this important, though underpublicized, topic?
Well, I think John Kerry has, you know, I can get back to you on the exact policy he's got, but he has spoken about energy independence. And that is something that, you know, I think the two different, if you're talking about environmental records, I mean, we're talking about George Bush here, he's got one of the worst environmental records, you know, around. And I think you're going to see John Kerry develop his plans, and he's going to be talking about that. And that's the difference, is we want to talk about the positive issues.
Brian, I would encourage you and anyone to get detailed information on any issue to go to johnkerry.com. It's a terrific website that has lots of details. I would think for alternative energy, you gotta prefer John Kerry over George Bush because George Bush is Mr. Oil Company, right? I mean, he's the guy that's tied into the Texas Oil Company. He's tied into Saudi Arabia. This is a guy who might throw a few bones at a hydrogen fuel cell, but he's not gonna go too far. I mean, I remember, I was a little kid then, but I do remember way back when Jimmy Carter told us to conserve energy, to you know, lower our reliance on foreign oil, to look at alternative energy sources like solar energy, hydrogen fuel cells. And then Ronald Reagan came into office, and it all went away. And one of the things that I would note about alternative energy is that there's a tax loophole right now. I don't know if you know this, Brian. I think many of my listeners do. There's a tax loophole right now if you buy an SUV. If you buy a car that wastes oil, that increases our dependence on foreign oil, you actually get a tax benefit. And then if you buy an ordinary car, even a hybrid or a car that doesn't waste fuel, and I know specifically, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, that Kerry wants to repeal the SUV loophole. Is that right?
I believe he doesn't. I think the main focus here is that John Kerry, you know, he's going to outline a plan that's going to reduce our dependence on Middle East oil. And that, I think, goes to the difference between the two candidates. You know, you're not going to hear George Bush talking about we need to get away from Middle East oil. That's what you can hear John Kerry talking about.
Okay, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Nick Shapiro. This is your chance to ask questions of the DNC, of the John Kerry campaign, find out what their strategy is, push them left or right, ask them the tough questions. That's what this show is all about. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-SCOOP, or you can send me an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with more of Election Tuesday right after this message.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Investors lost billions in the financial accounting fraud of Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, and other corporate scandals. Finally, they'll receive some compensation for their losses. The world's largest financial services company, Citigroup, has agreed to pay $1.6 billion after taxes to settle a class action lawsuit brought by WorldCom investors. However, as part of the agreement, Citigroup denies ever having violated the law.
In hopes of keeping her out of prison, lawyers from Martha Stewart plan to argue that if she does time, it will cost people their jobs. A report in the Wall Street Journal says this tactic apparently has precedent and was successfully applied in a 1995 corporate crime case. Just how many of the 500 Martha Stewart living OmniMedia employees might get the axe if the company's founder goes to prison hasn't been disclosed. She faces up to 16 months on conspiracy and obstruction of justice convictions related to insider trading of stock in a biotechnology company. Stewart's sentencing is scheduled for June 17th.
New legislation introduced by Senator Edward Kennedy in the House Democratic Caucus, entitled the Safe, Orderly, Legal Visas and Enforcement Act of 2004, would allow long-term undocumented workers to become legal permanent residents and establish a process to reunite immigrant families. It would include a provision allowing immigrant workers who are illegally fired for trying to form a union to win back all their lost wages. If passed, the bill would overturn a Supreme Court decision which found providing back pay to an undocumented worker conflicts with U.S. immigration law.
Tractors and big rigs may become roadblocks on wheels in the U.K. this summer if farmers and truck drivers vent their frustration about rising fuel prices. With the global price of crude hovering around $40 a barrel, the British-based Farmers for Action says it's mobilizing members around the country for protests. The group conducted rolling blockades of fuel depots in 2000 on similar grievances and brought the U.K. very close to running out of gas as a result.
Today's Dow Bob Report. According to a study out of Maryland and McGill Universities, mothers who have a job outside of the home have 13% less free time than mothers who work exclusively at home. In addition, they also spend less time with their children, sleeping, doing housework, and report always feeling rushed 25% more. However, they do feel slightly more satisfied.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Was the reason for war based on lies and corruption? Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. This is Election Tuesday, where we talk about John Kerry, George Bush, and everything you ought to know from this Tuesday until that very important Tuesday on November 2nd, when hopefully we do succeed in doing as the song says and kick out the Republicans. My guest is Nick Shapiro of the Democratic National Committee, answering your questions about John Kerry's positions, about the polls, about campaign commercials. Whatever it is you ask, we're at your service. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. I want to ask you, Nick, some of the emails I've received. I got an email from Teresa in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and Teresa asks, what is John Kerry's position on media consolidation and specifically on the FCC crackdown on Howard Stern? Do you happen to know his position on that?
I don't know his exact position, but I will say that if you do go to johnkerry.com, which I'm going to bring up with you guys right now, there are those detailed nuances that he's got plenty of stances on.
Okay. How do you deal with the question where Bush is trying to tar Kerry as being a flip-flopper? I mean, sort of kind of same thing he tried to tar Al Gore with. How do you respond to that kind of charge, that he's all over on every issue, like that on Iraq he voted for it and then against it, on body armor, for and against it? How do you respond to that?
Well, I think, you know, that's a pretty simple, easy answer. John Kerry has been a senator for 20 years. You know, it's very easy for them in a 30-second spot to show, you know, different positions that have been taken. But John Kerry is someone... Now, let's talk about that Iraq thing.
Okay.
I mean, let's talk about it. That's what everyone seems to want to talk about.
All right.
John Kerry is not the one who sent our troops into Iraq without the body armor they need. Okay. John Kerry absolutely, completely supports our troops. What he wanted to do is take the money that George Bush is giving to the wealthiest people in this country right now, and he wanted to use that money to fund and support the troops.
Right.
And we need to be responsible here. We need to bring back fiscal responsibility to this government.
You know, I don't understand all these people that and one of the other charges against John Kerry is he's going to raise your taxes. I don't understand.
He's going to cut middle-class taxes.
I understand.
It's outright lying.
Yeah, it's 98% or so of
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely, and 99% of businesses.
We'll get a tax cut. And yet, what's interesting to me is the people that really support what I would call the George Bush deferred taxation plan. The idea is that basically kids 10 years from now, people that I can't even vote now, are going to be paying twice the amount of taxes while rich people today pay none. I don't understand why anyone supports that. It's kind of like the stupidity of running up huge debts on your credit card. And it always strikes me that Republicans claim that they care about deficits, that they care about big spending, and yet George Bush has taken us from the greatest surplus to the greatest deficit. I got another email from Gordon in Smiths Creek, Michigan. Gordon writes, "Hi, is it good strategy for Kerry to lay low right now in criticism of Bush's screw-ups in Iraq? Let Bush unravel, then 45 or so days before the election, lay down heavy wood on that topic."
Well, I think, to go there, I think we are going to see more and more problems with Bush in Iraq because simply he didn't have a plan for post-war Iraq. I mean, let's talk about some of his miscalculations here. He's miscalculated the cost of the war. He miscalculated the amount of troops we needed. He miscalculated what the troops were going to need. He miscalculated the Iraqi resistance. And he planned to he didn't even have a plan for post-war Iraq. We found out we had a war plan for Iraq before we even had a reason to go to war.
And of course, let's not forget the lies about weapons of mass destruction and about the connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, which there was none. But I think Gordon's question is a political, it's a strategic question. Most of my listeners are pretty well aware of George Bush's lies on Iraq. Gordon's question is, Kerry does seem to be laying low right now. He does seem to be sort of laying low and letting Bush unravel himself. And maybe is that a planned strategy, or is that just because the media isn't covering Kerry because they're overwhelmed with George Bush's problems right now?
I think the media is very overwhelmed with George Bush's problems right now. And I think, you know, in terms of strategy, we don't want to get down in the dirt and talk about, you know, George Bush's problems. People know what George Bush's problems are. We want to run a positive campaign. We're talking about John Kerry and how he's going to build 10 million new jobs, and he's going to invest in education and health care, and we're going to build a stronger America. I mean, that's what John Kerry needs to be out there talking about. People hear every day the problem with George Bush.
Let me give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number, 877-577-2667. You know, Kerry, I remember about a month ago, challenged George Bush to a series of debates. Bush refused to debate. And then we really didn't hear anything about it. To me, that's a really strong thing for him to say, you know, I want to debate, but Bush is running and hiding. I think that Kerry could really make a big deal out of this. I imagine a guy in a chicken costume going around saying, you know, Bush, why are you afraid to debate? You know, I realize that you have difficult speaking and you hate talking to the press and you really can't handle answering questions and all, but you're supposed to be president. And, you know, we happen to think that presidents should be able to defend their policies. And yet, I thought it was a great idea for Kerry to raise debates. How come we haven't heard that? How come we haven't heard the DNC run a commercial, what is Bush afraid of debating? Maybe that's not a positive enough ad. I don't know.
No, I think there's two things there. One, we are trying to run, you know, really positive spots. Two, you know, with our campaign, we don't have the luxury of the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars the Republicans have at their disposal right now. So we need to be, you know, pick and choose what kind of spots we want to run, and we want to run positive spots. But I will tell you that we did launch a campaign, you know, attacking George Bush on the fact that he would not do these debates. We had named, I believe it was six different debate sites, you know, with six different issues.
Right.
And we had, an earned media campaign where we were hitting the phones, and we were saying, look, you know, we want to have a debate in your city on this issue. George Bush won't do it.
Well, I hope you keep pressing that, Nick. I really do, because I think it's very clear when someone's running and hiding, you know, that Kerry wants to discuss the issues and Bush doesn't. And I don't think most of the American public caught that. I mean, political junkies like me definitely did, but and my listeners are pretty aware. But I don't think the average American, you know, sitting out there, not really following politics, who doesn't really know John Kerry, has gotten the point that John Kerry wants to discuss the issues and George Bush is hiding. So I hope you hit that a little bit harder.
I think we will, and I think you're going to see again. You know, we're about 6 months out, just under 180 days, and people are really going to start to learn about John Kerry and what he's for. And you know, that's our goal. And you know, like we said, George Bush is just going to continue. I think you're going to see his disapproval ratings continue to rise and his approval ratings continue to go down. And people are going to start really learning about John Kerry.
Now, speaking of getting to know John Kerry, I note that a number of the Republicans really don't like to talk about his service in Vietnam. I think it's because he's such a hero.
What, absolutely.
Three Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star,
and
a Silver Star. This is a guy, you know, it was interesting comparing, George Bush still will not release all of his military records. It's very interesting that they pressed John Kerry on it, but I noticed that both of them can have a pain in the rear end at a time. The difference was that in John Kerry's medical records, he was wounded. His rear, and actually that was in his medical records. George Bush, it was hemorrhoids. And so both of them have suffered for their country, but not quite in the same way. And I would hope, you know, you convey this.
I think another important point on that same matter is, you know, John Kerry released his military records. You know, George Bush had to release dental records, because that's what he had in the National Guard. You know, we don't even know if he showed up that whole time. So the point that they were bringing up Vietnam, you know, couldn't have made us more happy. I mean, we are more than happy to talk about John Kerry's leadership and service to this country. When it was time to step up and take charge, that's what John Kerry did. Bush had a chance to go to Vietnam. So did Dick Cheney.
Yep.
You know, Dick Cheney had five different deferments, and George Bush, you know, didn't even show up to all of his National Guard service. So I think that really tells you about someone there.
And actually, let me just pull a little plug for my own site. If you go to InsideScoop.com, check out my broadcast archives. I've done a very detailed look at all the documents surrounding Bush's absence without leave from the National Guard. And yes, I do call him AWOL, and I can document it with the original documents. Go to my website, click on it, and you'll see a lot of very interesting information, including the fact that the reason he had the original documents. Go to my website, click on it, and you'll see a lot of very interesting information, including the fact that the reason he was grounded as a pilot is because he refused to take a physical, and these were the first physicals ever done by the Army that included a drug test. Take a look at that while you get a chance. Let me just ask you, Nick, before we go to another break, the scuttlebutt I'm hearing, the things that Democrats whisper when they don't want Republicans to hear what they're saying. So conservatives, close your ears now. Don't listen. Turn off your computer, you conservatives. But what Democrats are whispering among themselves is, we like John Kerry, we like his positions, he's a hero, but he just doesn't have the personality of Bill Clinton. He doesn't have the personality of Howard Dean or even of John Edwards or
I believe the other day he was actually quoted by saying to a reporter, you know, have you sat down and had a beer with me yet? I mean, this guy is someone who can relate to every man. He's the one looking out for the working man in this country.
You know, maybe if he went to a Red Sox game, you know, I'd like to see him there. Maybe I'm just a Red Sox fan, but I'd like to see him out there, you know, supporting Boston. I don't think he'll lose too many New York votes, but really, you know, just go into a ball game and just talking with voters and not only talking about the very important issues, and I don't mean to knock them, of health care and education and taxes, Social Security, environment, but also getting out and I don't know, having fun. I mean, it seems like even when he was skiing, it looked like
he was snowboarding out there.
Well, I know, but then the Republicans found, you know, where he complained that a Secret Service guy bumped into him or something. You know, they're always looking for something, and I guess it's just the perception thing. But the problem, I guess, I see it is this country. I think we got 45% that no question are going to vote for John Kerry, and 45% probably that no question are going to vote for George W. Bush. And the problem is that 10% of America, 1 in 10, that really isn't listening, isn't watching, and maybe doesn't even look at the important things like what will put more money in their hands and what will help the economy and what will get our troops home from Iraq. But they're looking for a guy they like. And Bill Clinton, you got to hand it to him. Not only was he a brilliant leader, but he was a brilliant politician. He really could go out and grasp someone's hand and feel their pain.
Absolutely, and I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see that a great deal. And also, I think one thing to remember, one thing that I've recently seen is this election is going to be close, you know, a short margin of people. And I think he's done for the last 3 years, or in this gun in the last 3 years.
That's a good point.
If you're not decided yet, you're looking for someone new. And John Kerry is going to be that person.
Hey, Nick, let me just ask you this before we go to break. What could someone who supports the Democratic Party, who supports John Kerry, someone who doesn't need to be convinced by our broadcast, but definitely wants to help mm-hmm. the Kerry campaign, wants to help the Democratic Party, and let me encourage you folks, it's not just about the presidency. I know I worked in Congress. If we could get a Democratic House, if we could get a Democratic mm-hmm. Senate, we could do so many better things. Please don't only focus on the presidential race. Also, you got to focus on the congressional races. What can someone do? Obviously, they can give money, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can tell them where they can give money.
Well, I would encourage everyone to go to your Kerry meetups.
Okay.
You know,
tell us about
those. You're going to find local information but what you can do in your local area to help, whether it's, you know, knocking on people's door. You know, we want to reach out to everyone in this election. You know, we're not tied to, you know, the special interest buddies and, you know, wealthy George Bush supporters. You know, we need to get out there and do a real great grassroots campaign and get everyone, you know, the people who we know are going to vote for us, we need to make sure they get out there and they do vote for us.
Okay, we have to go to a break, but when we get back, I want to find out some more details about those Kerry meetups and encourage everyone to call in this election Tuesday. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Give us a call and let us know what you think about John Kerry, George Bush, how the election is going. You can also send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with the conclusion of the Inside Scoop right after this.
About the middle class, but the giant corporations get all the cash. We got a $500 billion deficit.
If a thief broke into your home and stole a couple of thousand dollars that you had carefully saved from your paychecks and stashed away over the last 3 years, you could call the cops and try to get your money back. But who do you call when that thief is the CEO of your company? CEOs have been routinely stealing hundreds and even thousands of dollars from the deserved paychecks of each and every worker in America, pocketing much of this loot themselves and converting the rest to corporate profits. The grand larceny of the CEOs is that they've been filching every worker's share of the enormous productivity gains that America has racked up since the recession officially ended in November of 2001. Productivity is the increase in products or services that each worker churns out. And Americans have been phenomenal at this, fueling an explosion of new economic growth. The theory and promise of free enterprise is that if our workforce of millions of people becomes more productive, the workers will enjoy the bulk of economic gains generated by their improved output. Yet in this current 3-year burst of productivity, America has lost jobs and wages have either stagnated or fallen. In other words, America's working family top corporate headquarters. Workers' share of the new income they've generated in this recovery is the lowest ever recorded, while the fat cats have hauled off the most on record. An in-depth analysis by the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University finds that while the workforce usually is rewarded with 65% of the increase in national income, this time they've received only 38%. Profits, which go overwhelmingly to only a few investor elites, usually get under 18% of the productivity increase, but now they're getting more than double that. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is a massive historic level of theft, and the pinstripe dandies pulling it off ought to be wearing prison stripes.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Gather,
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is your host, Mark Levine, on this Election Tuesday, talking about Kicking Out the Republicans, Donnie Daly's song that began on my show and is now appearing across progressive radio hosts in the nation. Going all out. Thanks, Donnie, for your song, Kick Out the Republicans. This Tuesday and every Tuesday until November 2nd, that most important Tuesday when hopefully we kick out the Republicans, we discuss all there is to talk about with regard to the election. And my guest, Nick Shapiro of the Democratic National Committee, has been giving us the insight into some of the strategy and also some of the positions of the John Kerry and the Democratic Party. If you want to call in and ask your question, I encourage you to do that. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-2667. You can also send me an email by emailing comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. And I want to thank particularly all you Radio Power listeners for listening in. Encourage you folks to call in and email me as well. Radio Power is only exists by virtue of your donations, and so I want to encourage you to give that donation a click. Nick, I want to ask you a question from Marion, Ohio. He writes that Kerry promises 10 million. It's easy to promise. Mm-hmm. George Bush promised millions of jobs, too, and we lost them. How will Kerry give us jobs where Bush didn't?
That's a great question. I think one thing you're going to see Kerry do to try to, you know, create these jobs is he's going to give these middle class a tax cut. You know, that's the first thing he's going to do. Basically, it's on three different principles. You know, he's going to get our budget back in order, and we're going to restore fiscal discipline. Give the middle class these tax cuts, let people reinvest in these new jobs. He's also going to pay for every proposal as we go. And the most important, you know, part of this is deficit reduction. You know, he's going to dedicate additional resources as part of his overall plan to make sure the deficit gets cut in half. Now, to actually create the 10 million jobs, you know, you just need to get those three principles out, is we're going to end tax incentives to shipping jobs overseas. You know, one thing you're seeing right now is George Bush and his key advisors are talking about how outsourcing is good for the economy. I don't think anyone in America who has felt the pain of seeing their jobs sent overseas is going to agree. So we're going to end those incentives for companies to ship jobs overseas. We're going to give tax credits to businesses that create jobs in manufacturing and other businesses that have been affected by outsourcing.
Mary, let me respond to it this way. I think Nick is absolutely right about John Kerry's program. Let me tell you why I have a degree in economics from Harvard College. Let me tell you why I think any economist will tell you John Kerry's plan will work while George Bush's wouldn't. And it has to do with, economics is really just logic, understanding about people's choices, why people make the choices the way they do. George Bush says that if you give a whole ton of money to people at the top end of the income bracket, people making millions of dollars, which of course his tax cuts have largely gone to those kinds of people, that if you give them all the money, that they will create new jobs. So George Bush says it's rich people who create jobs. They will build a new factory. Factory owners, CEOs will build new factories, hire more people, and our economy will get moving again. It's frankly the same trickle-down economics that Reagan tried.
All saw how that worked out.
That George Bush Sr. once called voodoo economics. Let me explain, Mary, if I could, why as an economist John Kerry's plan is better. And the best way to think about it, I always give as my example, is if you've got a factory owner. Let's say you've got a CEO, head of General Motors. I don't mean to pick on GM. It could be any major car company. But you got this CEO of GM, and we're going to give him, let's say, $10 million. Now, this guy's already making, you know, $50 million a year. So now he makes $60 million a year. How many cars will this guy, this CEO, buy? I don't think he'll buy any. He already has, you know, three gold-plated Rolls Royces, and I don't know, maybe he buys American, but whatever he's got, he doesn't need another car. He's already got $50 million. I guarantee you, all the cars he needs, he's bought. Now, take that same $10 million and look at the Kerry plan. Tax it and give it and let middle-class people, lower-income people, keep more of their income. Let's look at that $10 million, and we're going to spread it instead among 1,000 people. We're going to give them each 10 grand, all right? Instead of a $10 million to one guy, we give 10 grand to 1,000 people. Now, these people, maybe they're making $50,000 a year. Maybe they're making $70,000, $30,000, even $100,000 a year. If somebody's making $50,000 a year and they're in a two-family income, they're struggling to get along. Maybe they have two jobs. Maybe they share a car. if they have another $10,000, maybe that's the difference in a down payment. Maybe then they can afford another car. So now, if we have these people getting $10,000, they're more likely to buy a new car than giving $10 million to a very rich guy. And now we got 1,000 people. Each of them wants a new car. And the rich guy, he owns the factory. Now he needs to build another factory because he's got more demand for his cars. Demand increases. He builds another factory, and he hires more people, and that creates jobs. And then those people earn more of a living, and they buy more cars. You know, Henry Ford once said he's got to pay his workers a decent wage because he's got to have somebody to buy his cars. And this is basic economic sense that really all you have to do is explain it to someone. It's hard to do in a soundbite of 10 seconds, but with a good 2-minute explanation, and I'm sorry for taking the whole 2 minutes, I think that anyone can understand, and you can persuade your fellow coworkers, your family, your friends, people considering voting for George Bush, that no matter what you think about fairness, and I think frankly it's more fair that those who make more money contribute more. I think they can afford it. I think rich people are patriotic too, and they also want to help the United States. But totally apart from fairness, it helps the economy for the simple reason, the bottom line is poor and middle class people are more likely to spend an excess dollar they get than a very rich person. It's basic economics. And that's why John Kerry, Nick Shapiro gave you the details of John Kerry's plan. I'm telling you why, as an economist, John Kerry's plan will work.
Work well together.
I think so. Let me ask you another question. This may be more difficult for one for you. It's from Steve in Seattle. And Steve wants to know about Kerry's position on medical marijuana in particular and the drug war in general.
Unfortunately, I don't know John Kerry's stance on medical marijuana.
Okay. How about on the drug war in general? Do you know whether he wants we have, of course, a lot of people who are nonviolent who use drugs or in prisons. Does he want to have more treatment centers? Do you know about that?
I believe he does, but, I want to stress that, one thing that Republicans always try to paint is that Democrats are soft on crime, and that is something that this president is not. When you bring up drugs, I thought you were talking about prescription drugs, and this is a president who is tied to the prescription drug industry. John Kerry is someone who wants to cut prescription drug costs and allow them in from Canada as long as they are safe. But as for medical marijuana, I wouldn't be able to help you with that one.
Okay. Again, if you want to know more, go to johnkerry.com. Check it out. I know that my old boss, Barney Frank, actually sponsored a bill to allow states to decide that question of medical marijuana. I don't know John Kerry's position either. I got some good listeners. They're asking tough questions.
That is great.
I would bet John Kerry is a pretty thorough person. I would bet that you can find that on his website at johnkerry.com. Hey, Nick.
If you guys have these more detailed policies, feel free to forward them over to me. I'll give you my email address after Mark, and I will be able to get you back these answers.
That's terrific. What is your email address, Nick? Oh, you're going to give it to me, and if people want to – okay, that's fine.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to give it out on the air, or should I wait till people contact me?
Why don't we contact you? There's too many viruses flying around. But
fair enough. If you have a question –
fair warning. Send me anything. I'll get it right back to you, Mark.
Fair enough. If you've got a question from – you want to know John Kerry's position on a specific issue, you can't find it on his website, johnkerry.com. You send me an email. This will be an off-air email, so it goes to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. I'll forward it over to Nick, and we will get you an answer to your question. Hey, Nick, time flies. We're about up, but I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and invite you again on another Election Tuesday.
Absolutely. Anytime. I had a great time, Mark.
Great. Thanks again, Nick.
Thank you.
Hey, we only got a couple minutes left. I do want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the next week. We've got really a great, great schedule, actually this week. Tomorrow is a noted author, really terrific, David Callahan. I saw him on C-SPAN and invited him on my show. He's the author of The Cheating Culture, Why Americans Are More Likely to Do Wrong to Get Ahead. And he really talks about the fact that more and more Americans are cheating to get ahead. And you might be surprised by what he thinks is a lot to do with the money culture, the bling-bling culture. It should be a very interesting show tomorrow. To talk about really the philosophy, how politics affects our lives. What does it mean when a CEO gets hundreds of millions of dollars? How does that affect not only that CEO's behavior, but the behavior of everyone down the line? I hope you'll join me for that show. Thursday, we've got our first Inside Scoop reality show. It's called You're Fired. And I want you to give me the person in the Bush administration you'd most like to fire. We can all be Donald Trump for a day. And then Friday, we're going to talk in detail about health care. I know that a lot of you have trouble getting basic health care. There's a lot of uninsured. You've heard John Kerry's plan for it. But what is really going on? How can we reform the health care system? And how is it that basically the Bush Medicare bill helps pharmaceutical companies but doesn't help you and me? And again, go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. Check it out. Make a comment on the blog. You know, some of you don't like to make comments on the air, but prefer to write things. That's fine. Make a comment on the blog on any of my shows. And the archives should be working. If they're not, send me an email. Let me know. But check out the website. There's a lot to offer on RadioInsideScoop.com. And if you like the broadcast, if you like the Inside Scoop, do me a favor. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell everyone on your email list. Let them know that you can get good progressive radio with facts right here on the Inside Scoop. Until tomorrow, this is Mark Levine signing off.
It's a good thing.